This is Nat Kimber, the associate editor of Monologuing. Today I'm here with Anton Yakovlev, poet and translator of the newly released Last Poet of the Village, translated poems of Sergei Yesenin out from Sensitive Skin Books. First, before we get too deep into it, I'll ask you, why did you choose to translate Sergei Yesenin?
Well, it was actually kind of an unexpected decision, and I was sort of thinking of translating someone, and looked at a number of poets from 100 years ago or so, kind of like more classic, not quite contemporary, but somebody that I kind of grew up with, and he wasn't the first person that I was just sort of considering, but I think the reason that I got into translating him and kept translating more and more poems and really got into kind of the idea of the project of doing a selected translations collection is that he is kind of the opposite of what you would expect me to translate if you know kind of my own style and how I write, because I'm, tend to be kind of absurdist and surrealist and have a lot of leaps of logic, and people frequently think that there's like a lot of random things going on, and sometimes it's kind of a problem for me, because the issue is that I think underneath it all there's like a lot of kind of lyricism and almost like a romantic sensibility that I sometimes almost conceal behind the surreal imagery and the kind of lots of wild metaphors and things like that. And Yesenin is essentially the epitome of lyricism and romanticism in Russian poetry, so much so that it's almost like some people would consider it bad taste. Like, he's like almost on the verge of bad taste because of how sentimental he can be. And the thing is, kind of tapping into that sensibility and into the kind of unapologetic lyricism was really interesting to me, because it's actually something that I am very interested in as well, but maybe not in such an obvious way. And secondly, I like the idea of being contrarian and kind of finding things that people don't necessarily think of in whatever's going on. And I think Yesenin has a lot of unusual imagery in terms of phrase and even some made-up words and some expressions that no one really used before, which he makes sound so natural and flows so lyrically that you're not necessarily cognizant of that, but it's there. And there's a lot of unique kind of micro details in his poems that I really wanted to explore and kind of see how they sound in English.
So going into the work of translating these poems, what were the challenges? What was your process of being yourself a poet? What surprised or enlightened you?
Well, it's interesting. Actually, the first couple of poems that I translated, I was at an editorial retreat for my day job as an editor in a hotel in Tiburon, California, and I found myself kind of wandering around the halls or like the outdoor sort of spaces of the hotel in the evening, just kind of reciting some of the poems to myself and simultaneously trying to translate them kind of on the fly. And, I think it started out with me just realizing that I actually knew quite a few of those poems by heart, because Yesenin, it's a poet that he's so famous and so part of Russian culture that you just absorb his poetry and some lines of his poetry, stanzas, just by kind of living in Russia, just by osmosis, even if you don't necessarily spend a lot of time memorizing them, which most people actually do. So I ended up realizing that I actually knew quite a few poems, just kind of, and I didn't necessarily know them. And it was very easy for me to just kind of like start in an incantatory way, kind of reciting them to myself, and then trying to basically come up with the English equivalents sort of on the fly, and sort of trying to make not only the words, but also the overall rhythm and the music of the poems correspond somewhat to the English. Now, of course, I did not choose to actually use strict meter and rhyme, which the poems do have in Russian, but I think it's just one would need have needed to make too many changes to the actual text. And I wasn't really interested in doing that. I was interested in the turns of phrase and the exact details and the exact form of how he was saying certain things. So I didn't want to take too many liberties just to kind of fit things into a very strict meter. Nor have I actually really seen metered rhyming translations of his poems that I have been satisfied with, because they tend to become kind of sing-songy and chimey and almost kind of cheesy sounding. So my challenge was to essentially be still accurate in the actual translation, the actual language and the expressions and the word that he uses, while having some semblance of a similar rhythm, sort of a shadow of the meter of the original, so that there is still the spirit of the music of the original poems, even though I'm not using the exact metrical and rhyme schemes that he did.
What time of history was Sergei Yesenin around, and how does that, how does being a modern poet in the 21st century affect you thinking about him in his time?
Well, so he was basically kind of the end of Romanticism and the beginning of Modernism. He was basically, he lived in what they call the Silver Age of Russian poetry. He lived for only 30 years in 1895 through 1925. And that, of course, he was active. The time that he was writing most of his work is just before and during and after the Bolshevik Russian Revolution. So he very much was informed and influenced by all the turmoil that was going on at that time. And in a way, thinking about his poetry roughly 100 years later, I was surprised at how well it held up and how contemporary it actually sounded if you just kind of zero in on the actual meaning of the poems and on the actual words and kind of strip away the historical place that he's in and all of his contemporaries such as Mayakovsky, Mandelstam and everybody else that we know very well, and just kind of think about the spirit of the poems. I think they hold up surprisingly well and have a certain universality because he was sort of interested in timeless subjects. I mean, the idea of the book, the reason that I chose the title The Last Poet of the Village, which is after the first line of one of the poems, is that, you know, he was one of the last people at that time to really actively focus on the rural life and something that made Russia unique, the Russian culture and the Russian mentality, by focusing on a lot of just sort of like peasant life and nature imagery and kind of like the simple life, the rural life of that time, which he thought was kind of going away. He was worried that it was disappearing because of industrialization and everything that was going on at that time. And, you know, in a way he was right, but it did he captured a kind of national identity and a kind of mythology almost through his imagery that really persists to this day. This kind of fascination with nature and with, with everything rural and the kind of purity of it.
With the world population increasing so much, and also with so much of a struggle between ideologies and way of life in our modern country between rural and city dwellers, do you find that we face a similar conflict as creatives right now? That there's sort of something being lost in creative expression in our culture at this time, or that there's a sort of a divide between city and rural, or do you feel like we've somehow maybe transcended that through modernism?
I think there is a divide, but I think it's different from the way it looked in Yesenin's time. I mean, I think there might be political differences and, certain differences in outlook that I'm not sure if there's as much of a parallel. I mean, I guess, I don't know. Can you specify kind of like what...
Take the idea of romanticism, and not in the way of romantic love, but in the way of looking back towards nature. There's definitely an environmental movement happening. When we consider metanoia as a culture, is there a point that we're turning back in that way of maybe that romanticism did for creatives in that time? Do you see that happening now, or is that challenged, I guess, is the question.
I think there is. I think there is a kind of a large portion of sort of urban and, sort of college-educated population that kind of want to recapture that and go back to, living in the country, kind of like moving away from the big cities and almost kind of recapture the romanticism of that. So I think that's definitely part of what's going on. And maybe, I haven't thought about that before, but perhaps in some ways Yesenin was doing something similar, where he wanted to hold on to something. I guess in his case, it was more like a world that he felt slipping away and becoming less relevant, and he wanted to hold on to it. As opposed to right now, I think there is a kind of rediscovery going on of something that may have already disappeared and kind of maybe was marginalized previously and is now being a bit more recognized, and there is newfound interest in it. So as opposed to holding on to something that's in danger of slipping away, now we're looking at rediscovery of something that had slipped away and now is making a comeback in some ways.
That's fantastic. Again, speaking to the theme of metanoia, which is so much about doing a mental, creative, spiritual, what have you, fill in the blank type of 180, moving into a new life, a new way of doing things. Has translating these poems for Last Poet of the Village changed the way that you go forward writing your own poems? Have you experienced any metanoia through translation projects like this one, or are you pursuing more in the near future?
Yes. I mean, I think the sheer fact of even translating him was a kind of 180 for me. Because I was looking at some, futurist poets and, surrealist, absurdist sort of poets that I thought, could be a good idea for me to translate. But for some reason, I kind of ended up translating somebody who is almost acting in opposition on that. And he was, he founded the movement called Imaginism, which was sort of like a spin-off or a contemporary of Imagism. It didn't really take off as much, but it was very much in opposition to futurism, which was going on at that time. And futurism is something that I grew up with. I really grew up with absurdism and the theater of the absurd. It was something that, like, in the 80s, people were kind of rediscovering from the early 20th century after a lot of the socialist Soviet realism that the Soviet Union, you know, that prevailed in the Soviet Union. So, in a way, like, going away from futurism, surrealism, absurdism into his style is something that was a 180 for me. But at the same time, now I think I feel a little more at liberty to use maybe a more outwardly lyrical and kind of somewhat romantic tone in some of my poems, almost kind of channeling the spirit of Yesenin's poems as I was translating them. So now sometimes, like, when I write my own, like, the recent poems that I've written in the past year or 2 years, sometimes I almost feel like, well, you know, how would Yesenin say that? You know, if this was part of Yesenin poem that I was translating, what would it sound like? And sometimes that has freed me up for almost kind of being more direct, or maybe like kind of risking sentimentality a little more, and saying things that I maybe otherwise would have said in a slightly more veiled way.
Well, thank you so much, Anton. The book is The Last Poet of the Village, and it's out with Sensitive Skin Books.
Thank you so much for having me.